Welcome to The Running Public with Bracken Crocker and Kirk DeWint.
Whether you are a brand new runner or you already have a great mustache,
we're here to help you increase your running knowledge and present it at a practical level. This is The Running Public. When you're ready to take your training or racing to the next level, go to therunningpublic.com. We have both monthly subscription training plans, $19.99 a month, and Bracken and I both offer one-on-one customized coaching. Again, go to therunningpublic.com and check out our offerings. The last time you guys chatted, what was it? Bracken had a hot take, or you guys butted heads on something, and not to dig up old stuff, but I don't remember what that was about, but I remember it got traction. What was that?
Oh, that's when I was on mats.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Bracken. Yeah. Well, don't bring that up again.
But I don't remember what it was. We don't need to.
I don't want to have the sponsorship is easy conversation when we're slowly watching OCR dwindle into nothing. Oh.
That's not a sponsorship issue. That's a Spartan issue.
Mm.
Their sponsors are covering their holes in their budget.
If only that were true.
That they have holes in their budget, or that they're actually patching the holes.
The short answer, is this where you guys want to start? I'm fine with it, by the way.
No, there was no plan here.
No, okay. Well, I have a plan. Do you not have a plan, Bracken? I got a plan.
No, there's no plan to bring that piece up and make it the episode.
Okay, yeah. Start where you want to start, Kirk. Go ahead. I'm unless this is all part of it. I'm down for whatever.
This is part of it. It's actually just bothering me now what that conversation was. We don't need to rehash it. I just want to remember what the topic was.
I made a statement that sourcing marketing and sponsorship dollars is not hard. Mm. It can be difficult, but that it's not like an athletic feat. It wasn't an intelligence test, that there's money to be found if people search for it. That was all I said. And then it turned into a whole lot more got said. Mm. Because of that statement.
But even now you're phrasing it slightly differently, which I agree with.
Which part?
It's kind of like they say about poker, right? Easy to learn, lifetime to master. It's the same thing. Like, it's not the concept of smiling and dialing, picking up the phone to attract sponsors. That concept itself is there. However, even though Spartan's been at it since 2010, and I've been at it since 2012, and several other people looking for money have been at it, the money isn't there, or someone would get it. That was my whole thing, that yes, it could be done, but it looks like the market is showing us that it can't. Which, yep. Answer, when you said the holes or whatever, if you asked me what I thought Spartan's problem was, is that it's the same one that we've kind of known for years, which is Joe, and it does start and end with Joe, has a different idea of what success looks like, and so he is a very poor manager and a poor leader. And so his company is all over the place and gets very excited about something quickly and then stops it and then goes somewhere else. So if you're going to invest,
I don't know if I've ever agreed more with you on anything.
If you're going to invest, that's the key term, invest, right? Mm. Like Hyrox is killing it because they know, guess what? They're not going to get rich tomorrow. But they're growing something. They're doing real well with it. Now, it's still really early, but they're starting to attract some pretty big sponsors. They're in every single country. And what I've said is if Joe were smart, he would drop Trail and drop Laruda and drop everything, keep OCR where it is.
Keep paddleboard.
OCR where it is and double down on DECA because that's the future. The future is hybrid. That's what I would do if I were Joe. But he won't because he believes in collecting things. He believes in promoting his own brand of, hey, guess what, guys? Things are hard. Like all the things we know about Joe. But I would if someone said, Joe will listen to you, Matt, we've waved a magic wand, I'd be like, see what these guys are doing? Do you think that's an accident? There's a fucking article about Hyrox every day in some fitness magazine. Like, here's the Hyrox graph. Anyway, we don't have to spend all day on that, but that's my thoughts.
No, it's an interesting concept because it is a large part of both of our bubbles is the OCR and hybrid community. And it is, I think, worth not just totally brushing over. Rich Ryan, who has no place in the sport of OCR anymore. He's just purely a hybrid athlete.
Get him out.
Had what I would consider a very good idea a couple months back that Spartan should just be all in on Trifecta and Ultra and DECA.
Yeah.
And that's it. How do you feel about that concept of every weekend's Trifecta, every championship's a Trifecta or Ultra? We don't bother with the other stuff.
Yeah, I mean, in the early days, there was this land war grab with them and Tough Mudder and kind of everybody else. We have to be everywhere all the time. We have to beat the other guys to it. That settles down and they realize, okay, I don't need to be everywhere all the time because I've planted my flag. So maybe I can kind of reduce where I am and ditch some of these smaller markets. And so they did that, but they still didn't realize, oh, you know what does the best? When we do a whole trifecta in one weekend and we can get... You're still always going to get the most people for the shortest distance, just like when there's a weekend with a 5K and a 10K. The 5K has more. The half has more than the full marathon, right? Now I'm speaking your language, Bracken. Speaking your love language of running. You still will get – so they finally figured out, oh, let's do 20 trifectas instead of 8. So that seems smart. They seem to have figured that part out. But I know way too much. I know way too much behind the curtain I can't even talk about that I know how poorly that company is managed, sadly.
Yeah.
So it's going to be what it's going to be. And we hope they can at least just, like, you know, stay above water because they're the only ones left.
Yeah, that's the tough part. They're the biggest fish in a pond that's dying, and they're confidently just swallowing every lure. Like, they know it's a lure and that it doesn't matter. I work with an individual who used to be in a financial role at Spartan Race. And same kind of thing. Endless stories of why it's so obvious that they fail. Like, I spearheaded this thing for 18 months and we got to the end and we'd invested $600,000. And then Joe decided on Monday it was done and we moved to the next thing. And now everything, that kind of thing. But the same concept of I can't talk about any of it because there's going to be a lawsuit if I do, kind of thing. But is there a way out of this?
Is there a way out?
Is there a way out with Joe at the helm?
No.
Which just sounds like really aggressive and attacking on our end. I'm not calling for his head, but is there a way out with Joe as the leader?
I used to say Joe would never sell. I think now it could actually happen. I think he's finally let go of the idea of I'm Spartan and Spartan is me, that if he could get enough investment that he didn't have to be the CEO, or that's his other thing, is like he would probably tell you, well, I have to keep all these brands because that's the portfolio, that's the what I'm selling. But Spartan itself is a brand, is a lifestyle, does sell a lot in merch every weekend. I've gotten to see some of those numbers. They're really good.
Yep.
So just sell that to someone who's good at events. Actually, the guys that just sold Rugged Maniac would probably be great at Ventures Endurance, which is this event arm of Gannett Media, but I don't think they'd be the ones to do it. But somebody who knew something about events could really – would OCR ever grow? Like, could it ever be bigger? Probably not, but does it have to be? Can it – like, if you owned 30 Dunkin' Donuts, do you need to own 35? Like, couldn't you just – do really well with 30 Dunkin' Donuts? Is that a bad analogy?
Good analogy. Joe had his chance to sell and he missed it.
You mean like at its peak in like 2015 or something? Or you think you know of a specific investor that was knocking?
I can't go too far into it, but there was an attempt to sell.
Okay.
And greed happened.
Mm.
And they'll never get what they were offered then because he thinks they're worth more.
Right. And that's a classic.
And he's been told part of the reason he's getting LaRuta and all those things, like you said, the word portfolio, if we're bigger and we have more holdings, we're more valuable, but the evaluation doesn't show it. I think that the sale now is a near impossibility because he won't see the number he saw.
Right. But I'm saying that he still might, I think it might come to it where he, because it's been so long that he eventually, maybe not today, maybe in 5 years, goes, all right, I've done this enough. I can still continue to be Joe and travel and speak and do the things I, because I do hard stuff without, because he'll always be known as the Spartan guy, even though, right? Even though even
the MyPillow guy could get out of the pillow business and he'll still be known as the MyPillow guy.
Right. But that's a classic founders thing too, right? Mm-hmm. There's all these stories of, do you know they were offered $1 billion and they said no, and now they're worth 80,000. Like that happens. I had a thought. My fucking phone rang and distracted me. But let's get Kirk in here, man. Come on, this can't just be the Matt and Bracken show.
Listen, I can jump in at any time. I'm just proud of you guys for not rehashing old quandaries here. I gave you an opportunity to get right into it, and you guys came together on a conversation. It was beautiful, actually. I just wanted to let that do its thing.
I think Bracken and I, at one point, were legit frenemies, and I think we've crossed that into friends. That's my personal opinion. And that argument was just like a blip. It was just a – it's not even an – like we weren't not friends about it. We got into a – we disagreed on something, just like you do with your bros, right? You disagree heavily, and then you move on. But I think
we had a debate on air.
Yeah.
And people thought we had a fight. They didn't realize that it ended the moment the topic changed.
Listen, you know how the people are. They love the drama. They love the, you know, come on.
They're idiots.
To date, I have never received more feedback on an episode, more messages than that one.
That's what I remember.
And I realized immediately this is why people do hot takes.
Yeah, I know. I know. And just real quickly before I say the thing about hot takes, I don't talk about this stuff necessarily because I don't want to get sued. It's just like if I'm some kind of journalist that I consider myself to be, I'm just not going to tell all these tales out of school that I know about people, right? Like if I was writing a report and I got things on the record and I was going to write something, but this is just me knowing so many people that have worked with or for Spartan that it just wouldn't be cool. But yeah, if you and I wanted to do nothing but hot takes and clickbait, we could do that. I do some of it, mostly tongue in cheek. But today I posted Hyrox versus CrossFit conspiracy because this guy said a funny thing on a CrossFit show about Hyrox. So I clipped, but like, yeah, you could do that every day, but that just doesn't feel good or fun to me.
Maybe we should try that, Brack, and really change our algorithm. See if we can go from teaching people stuff to making them dumber. What do you think?
Easy. You take a famous person, you attack their methodology.
Okay.
Say why they're wrong.
Got it.
And say some crazy statement on how simple it is to do it my way, and then provide a pay link. Real easy.
Formula done. All right.
This guy showed up in my algorithm yesterday who was showing how stupid these celebrity workouts are. Mm. He was showing who's the chick from not Miss Marvel, not the other one, Madam Web, maybe one of those. And they showed her doing these what do you call it when you put the weight right above your crotch and thrust upwards?
Hip thrusters. Glute bridges.
And her glute bridges, I think, is how I know them. Her coach was like all the way over her, almost humping her and spotting her. And so he was just like, much like Bracken, not screaming, just very casually saying,
okay. I didn't know where you're going with that.
She was bald.
Like, he was much like Bracken in this very, very inappropriate spotting.
Like the hot take screaming is one thing, right? Like the loudest voice wins kind of thing. And he's just going, okay, so first of all, that's creepy. You don't need to do that. And then here's why this exercise shouldn't be done to do the things that he's saying it should do. Anyway, he was really good, and he had like a million views on every single video. Mm-hmm. And that's what he does. He goes after each one of these celebrity workouts, because they always do that, right? Like,
yeah.
This is the world's best glute bridge. This is the world's best, you know, thing to get your glutes activated. And it's like, nah, it's not.
Why don't we consult me on this, guys?
Kirk, if you were training someone,
yep.
If you were training someone, which you do in the gym all the time,
yep.
Could you think of an exercise that is less in need of a spot than a glute bridge?
That was his point.
Like the most dumpable exercise of the weight you could ever come up with?
No. Some people have a hard time getting in position properly. If there's a lot of weight on the bar, they have a hard time getting situated.
But once you set it,
other than that. No.
But once you set it, forget it.
Male trainers, forget it. There's a certain segment of male trainers that will use any excuse to put their hands on their female clients while they're exercising. Very unnecessary. Feel that muscle working? Yeah, feel it. Yeah, it's my inner thigh. It's the hip adductor. Got it. We don't need to be doing that, guys. You keep your hands off. Keep your hands off them. But anyways, that's probably one of those guys.
That should be your clickbait. Kirk DeWitt says, back off.
Back off.
Yeah, or at least be touching your male clients the same way. Like, you got, if you really needed to spot her like that, I need to see you over the top of that trucker you're working with later doing the exact same thing because you believe in it so strongly.
He takes zero trucker clients.
There's not many of those out there.
You know what the single greatest aspect of Hollywood trainers are?
What?
The drug cocktails they're giving their clients.
That's
we talk about
for.
Doping in sports. There's not a more doped clientele than Hollywood actors.
Well, why wouldn't they? They got the money.
I'm not even against it.
They got the money. Saying, nobody's testing them.
You cannot follow their workouts because you can't dope as expensively as they are.
You know, like money can't buy you fitness, but if I had someone knock on my door every morning and like made me get up, it certainly would help. Now I could still tell them go away, you know, but seriously, if you or Kirk live near me, and I gave you some offer. Well, neither of you might do it, but somebody else. If I said, "Hey, here's some ridiculous amount of money, and you're gonna wake me up, you're gonna take me through the workout, you're gonna fix my shakes," like you could probably get in shape.
Might cost.
You could definitely be aesthetically appealing.
What's that?
Off money. Money can buy you aesthetics, 100%.
Well, it at least could like jumpstart a lifestyle. Like, okay, you did it for 6 months. Now I think I'm good. I got the 30 days for a habit or 90 day for a habit. I wanted to show you a post I saw today on OCR Eurochamps. Did you see this?
Ooh, no. I like it.
So it's OCR Eurochamps. It says OCR Eurochamps, and it's a giant photo that says anti-doping with what looks like their logo. It's like a weird.
Is that a chimera?
It's like a weird dragon. Yeah.
Oh, it's a dragon.
Dear athletes, are you excited? Nervous? Well, even if you are, do not do drugs! Exclamation point. Anti-doping test might be randomly run after each race to ensure cleanliness and fairness. And then a little drug emoji. If you are currently assuming medications that may be included or may contain substances included in the WADA forbidden list, please have your doctor fill in and sign the TUE document. You will find it in our website document section. What are the odds they do this, you think?
Well, it's overseas, so it's better.
Way lower. Way lower. Come on, Bracken.
Because I'm assuming this is a group that's trying to be affiliated with the push for the Olympics.
Right. So this is a nice
piece of PR,
right?
Part of the – back when Spartan started their first round of we might be testing, we might not, and we're going to test the podium maybe at World Championships, that was because one of the qualifications, the marks you have to check on the list for Olympic accreditation is testing. So they have to – if they want to actually be this Olympic push, they do have to have testing. So it would make sense that that event would.
Right, but World – OCR doesn't. The World Championships didn't, right?
I don't know.
No. And then it says might be randomly run after each race. Why doesn't it just say we are 100% testing if you're 100% testing?
I don't know.
I think it's I'll give it 10% chance of happening.
I think I've said this on here before, but Macaulay had this idea for cleaning up the sport overnight. And it was that Spartan, instead of investing $250,000 in a testing program, they invest like $20,000 and then the major training spots like Colorado Springs, Denver, Dallas, New York City, that area, you pay some small-time local theater actor to put on a lab coat and show up at like 10 of the 15 most famous athletes in the U.S., their door, then say, hey, we're here for your agreed-upon drug testing, and then you just film their reaction. And you post those reactions online, and it'll clean up the sport overnight.
That's great.
So that's all you'll have to do. You don't even have to test them.
I like that.
How many doors get slammed or people go, you'll know right away.
Can we take some of that money and use it to pay for the personal trainer that's going to wake me up every morning and make my shakes?
That's going to be a pricey tag, Matt. Back to the can you dope up your clients and celebrity trainers thing. The formula is very simple. They get sent to the right physician, in which always tests them for low testosterone, which most men have. They get them on a replacement therapy regimen out of the gates, right? They get them up to just upper end bracken levels, almost off the charts, but just tolerable. Every middle-aged man with a gut, his hormones are all out of whack. That alone starts fixing problems. Then they get some mojo back. They can finally get boners again, and they start like vibing, and they lose weight, and they and then that's the start, right? You do that, guy starts popping and has a lighter step in life. He's more motivated, feels better, has more energy, works out, cuts weight. There's probably some other things in the cocktail, but it's a prescription for testosterone replacement therapy, which is very effective, especially dudes late 30s and on. That's the formula and some other things, but that's the main component.
All right. So as of today, as of this recording, I will be 52 in 8 days.
Woo.
Shocking. I know you can't believe it. I know you can't believe
it. Give it up. You look good. You look great.
But thank you.
You look better than 42.
Wow. Thank you. Wow. Wow. Yeah.
I'm not saying like you were super haggard for a few years, but like you've done well.
So you do, I do feel more tired. I do have less testosterone. Like, it's just a fact.
Yep.
So, and if you were my coach and I was like, hey, I want to go, like, I want to just get some level that's healthy. Like, I don't even know where the line is of this is just normal and, oh, my doctor prescribed it so I can do whatever I want. You know, you could literally get any painkiller in the world, even today, where they've cracked down a lot on it, you could still pretty much go to any doc and say, ouch, my back. So anyway, what's – like, I don't know. What are the legal levels of TRT or any of that stuff?
None.
None.
You can't take exogenous testosterone in any form legally.
And what this is it's a lot of times the partnerships aren't with – like, you don't go to your
– legally, like, for races or just against the law?
Competition.
Okay.
Go ahead, Kirk.
There's a whole system. Like, you go to your main big hospital and you have a primary care physician. A lot of times they're going to have handcuffs on, but there's this concierge physician network that is just like booming. And they're running solo practices out of an office in a medical building. And you can do whatever you want. You get sent to the guy. It doesn't matter what your test results say. If minimum testosterone is 300 and you're 400, he'll still say, yeah, but you'll feel better at 1150. Let's get you there. Whereas in like a lot of system, it's like you test normal. We can't like really do anything about that under our guidelines. And so like the concierge physician service, which is legit, you can call them and they're in your pocket. You get a cold or you get something, they'll just prescribe you antibiotics over the phone because they know you. It's like your relationship, right? So you get in touch with one of those guys or girls and then you start that process, and anything goes then. That's what most of those people do.
What if I just want to feel better? What if I go to one of those guys, okay?
Yes, that's the argument, right?
And then I go, you know what, guys? This helps my whole life. I got better love life with my wife, et cetera, et cetera. Not speaking personally, of course, but a human my age could say that, right? and then just listen, when I do Spartans and Hyrox, I just take my chip off, guys. Not going to try to win an age group award. I know I feel better. What do you think? Is that okay? Not okay.
I mean, morally, I don't think morals apply when there's no consequences. Like, if you want to put any substance into your body for you in your life and it doesn't affect anyone outside of you, I don't think there is an argument there. And it's proven time and time again that when men raise their testosterone, especially middle age and on, their life improves.
Yeah.
And so that's why everyone does it. They feel better. They're younger in appearance and their body systems are de-aged and everything is enhanced. There are compensatory biomarkers that happen because you're taking it in an exogenous form, and so your body reacts to it. And so one of the issues is that if you take enough, you're down a lifelong path of taking other drugs as well to balance out the consequences of the drugs you're taking. It's a long, deep, dark rabbit hole. But yeah, on the surface level, there's no downside to doing it until you're now competing against people who aren't.
Well, and I've always said I would never get facial surgery. I would never get hair replacement. Now, it was easier for me to say in my 20s and 30s when my hairline wasn't way back here. But it's happening, and I'm still sticking to that. And I definitely am not thrilled if there's a picture taken from this angle and you can see this bald spot up top. I'm not happy about it, but I would never do that. But if I start taking testosterone, maybe it's like, this can't hurt. You know, it's easy to see how you might go down that path.
If this were a weightlifting competition, it would be a different story. But from what I've seen, so I work with a number of clients in the gym who are on TRT, and I have friends who are on TRT for like life reasons, right? Let's just call it. You're such a small deviation on the endurance scale from improving any direction on this stuff. In my opinion, it doesn't move the needle a whole lot in that regard. It will help you have like a higher metabolic rate. You will feel a little more, like it does not increase endurance from like a physiological perspective a whole lot from what I've seen happen to people. It's helped them lose their gut a little quicker. They've had more pep in their step. And there is an argument for muscle, but like if you're talking about like getting out and Spartan racing, I think you're talking a standard deviation of like a half. I don't think it's even worth raising an eyebrow for the massive. When you're splitting hairs at the very, very top end of the...
Ooh, I disagree.
Maybe. I've worked with people on it. I mean, I've worked with many people on it.
Yeah.
So that's been my experience
through
their eyes.
Throw away my chip. My times are legit.
I agree with your entire premise. I disagree with the conclusion. It's not an endurance enhancer, but... it is a recovery enhancer.
That's the recovery piece, right? Like, I want to run back-to-back days. That's the whole thing, right?
Yeah, and workouts. Like, back if you read into the Lance days when people were cranking testosterone, one of the main benefits was so that they could work like maniacs and do it again the next day. So, no, taking it will not boost your performance, but it's one of those drugs that it's an enabler. So, Kirk's right. I just disagree with him, which is rare for us. I kind of like this. Matt comes on and we start fighting.
Well, and you know what? I actually really want to talk about Matt. I have Matt questions, and we haven't even started. But
lay it on me, brother. I'm an open book.
I know you are, but you say like if you can't do it with, then you can't do it without, right? When you talk about athletes going pro and leaving their jobs, like if you couldn't kill it with a job, you're probably not going to. I kind of feel the same exact way about TRT as far as like changing your life. Like if you couldn't get it figured out, and there'll be somebody who has a medical condition that'll get mad at me for saying that. Like I literally was in a bad spot medically, and so this changed me, and I get that. There's exceptions, but in general, like if you didn't do it with low T, you're not going to do it with high T. I've been at both ends of the scale, and I was on testosterone for at one point in my life, right? This is before my OCR days. Don't go scalping me, Matt. And in fact, I don't think my running probably went worse than it ever had at that point. So I have a little experience with it. But the recovery piece is true. There is very much truth to that. So do we want to leave it or do we want to keep on it, the conversation?
I'm good with that.
I'm going to wrap it up with a piece Matt talked about. I just want to address that where you said, I start it and then I stop taking my timing chip with me or whatever. The way our world works is people are so quick to believe their performances, no matter what the outside influence is, and they're so in need of validation. And we see this with HYROX. HYROX right now, there are certain courses where everyone on the outside looks at the course and says, that was a few minutes fast. We get that. And the athletes all go, I put in such a great training block.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And right now, and I talked about this a little on Race Brain, where I'm planning on doing New York City, and we know that course is not to be trusted. It's a new setup.
It's not to be trusted. It's outside.
Yeah. We don't know what the time means.
It's New York City. There could be crack addicts coming up to us. We don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of why I'm going. But if I go out there and run 75 minutes, everyone will side with me and be like, it was a bad course. And they'll also think, but he also sucks. And if I go out and run 55 minutes, everyone's going to be like, it's cool that he raced well, but we all know that time doesn't mean anything. But with both of those, if I run 75 minutes, I'd be like, I know I'm in 60-minute shape. That course was 15 minutes slow. And if I run 55, I'll be like, there's probably a minute or two fast, but I put in so much work that this course justifies, even if it was a little quick, you can't fake the lunges on a fast course. And so that's the way our minds work. And we've even seen high-level athletes defend their times in posts where the other high-level athletes are like, we already know this course is going to be fast tomorrow. So the same thing happens with testosterone or anything like that. You know the work you put in. You go out on course, and it's not like you have the secret button that as you start to hurt, you're like, all right, TRT, engage. That's not what happens. You just feel the work you've put in. So I don't think there's really anyone on this planet that I've ever heard of who's like, I'm going to dope, and I'm not taking a prize. because they think that they can do it without it. They don't need it. And no one could do what I do. You hear it with the Mr. Olympia guys. I don't know if you've ever watched any of those documentaries. The most common line is, you think we just do this because we're on steroids. You couldn't do this on steroids. And they're probably right. But it doesn't change the fact that they die by that statement. You couldn't do what I do even if you took my drugs. So no, Matt, I think if you started testosterone, you would be taking your medal and you would be posting on social media.
All right.
With your Waffle House jersey.
TBD. We'll stay tuned. Watch the space.
I would.
Shoot. Where should we go from here? All right. Can we talk about you, Matt, for a little bit?
We sure can.
That would be great because you were one of the first guests on our podcast. Weren't you one of the first like 5 or 8 guests, I believe? Wasn't that right, Bracken?
Would you believe I looked it up? Episode 4, Friday, February 14th, 2020.
Oh, my God.
Pre-pandemic. We didn't know the world was ending.
That's crazy. Episode 4.
Hobie?
Yep.
Carrie Tolleson.
Kempson?
Who was 3?
Somebody early? No, it wasn't Kempson. An OCR human. I don't know. Doesn't matter. They don't matter. Matt matters. Number 4. And I see you.
And this is 417 or 418 or something.
Yeah, you did your homework. But I still to this day occasionally see you, like, you'll be at a race and you'll be wearing, like, the Tuesday shirt. And I'm like, yes, guy, like, you still got our stuff.
Love that
and
shirt.
Yeah, that's my least favorite shirt of ours because that color is not comfortable. That black heather is, like, all these shirts are.
Sucks.
Yeah, all these shirts are so comfortable and that one isn't. So I don't wear it much. You don't feel that way?
Okay, well then I need to buy a new one because I don't wear a shirt unless A, I look good in it, B, it's comfortable. And I look good in dark colors. It's a black shirt. Yeah. And B, it's comfortable. And it is a big conversation starter.
It is a conversation piece.
You agree, Bracken. It's our least comfortable color. It's a weird thing.
It's not even close.
Yeah.
That and that original dumb blue one with the circles.
It's dumb blue one. Okay.
All right, I'll order a new one, I guess.
Well,
first of all, you can't order any because we don't have any shirts. Second of all, I'm going to send you a shirt when we do have it.
Okay, thank you. That would be great.
I can't even find my Tuesday shirt. I think I turned it into a cutoff. It's sad. But, okay, so here's the deal. So a few questions I have for you just about like what's been going on with you because we're in the podcast space as like not a hobby. It's part of our business, but it's not our full thing, right? And you've been at it hard for how many years? When did you start this? You said 2012?
Yes, July 2012.
Okay. So first question for you. Tell me if you agree with this, and this is a podcast question. We're in a niche sport, so maybe it's different for you. You're in hybrid and OCR. But the game has changed. Like, how many more podcast offerings do you think there are today in any given space versus even 4 years ago or 6 years ago? What have you seen throughout the time? Is it you were a lone man on one island back then and now, like, what's the comparative?
I don't know. 1,000x?
Yeah.
The good news for those of us that do this is most people don't stick around because they go, this is going to be so much fun. We're going to talk. It's just sitting around. This is a great conversation. Let's just have a podcast. Somebody posted the other day, and I'd never heard this. Let's start a podcast is the new let's start a band because that's what people would do when they were like bored. Like, we're actually pretty good. So two guys and two gals, and they've all got really good equipment now. So episode 1 looks phenomenal. Looks way better than this. They get the light. They get the nice microphone. It looks like Joe Rogan, whatever, right? But they're garbage. So they don't get a following. They don't become famous overnight. They don't get rich, and they stop. So, yeah, it's I thought it was growing in 2017, right? Yeah. That's when Serial hit, but now it's off the charts.
Serial.
And especially now that the YouTube piece is becoming a big thing, so people have it for both. But again, what I've always learned, like, I'll outwork and I'll outlast most people, and that's all I can do. That's all I can do.
When we first started looking into this, I was looking at who the competition is. Not so much to like emulate or to target them, but what is success in this industry? What looks good? How many reviews do you need? How many episodes do you need to have out? What's your library of work that you need? And there's like the strength running podcast and some things on there with Fitzgerald. And I was like, oh my goodness, all you had to do is just get here early. And now it's to the point where I feel like we got here early.
You did.
Which is crazy because when we first started tracking the charts, everyone who tried was in the top 100.
Yeah.
Right.
And now the top 100 changes like weekly as new podcasts come out and just get that quick blip on the map metric rise. I used to be able to recognize every podcast in the top 50. And now I just have no clue. The space is so crowded. And the depressing part is that that's not happening in OCR anymore. Mm. That's how you know an industry has stagnated, is when no one's trying to put out new shows in that area.
It's funny you started talking, and I'm just thinking of all the stuff that I see, and it's like Running Public, Alley on the Run, Bad Boy Running, Rich Roll, like yeah, those same ones over and over and over again. Yeah, I mean, less obstacle racing podcast is a sign, but you don't need that to know that it's like that's not happening. But as I say, the number 7,000 finishers did the fucking Spartan Race in Georgia.
Yeah.
That's
so encouraging.
That's 10,000 signups. That's a lot of people. Now, some of them did all three races, but that's back to the other conversations. Let's stay with podcasting.
Yeah. Well, this temporarily. Let's stay with this. I was talking to Carrie Tellefson. She was a guest. She's had C-Tally run before you had, ORM. I think she started in 2008, 2009, somewhere in there. She's still going at it.
She's before me.
Yep. And I was asking her about numbers, just purely curious. And she'd always been a top 10-ish podcast. And she said, and I never thought about this, and this is a transparency, like our numbers have completely stagnated, if not dropped a little bit in the last year or two, honestly. And I asked her, I'm like, what is going on? She's like, mine as well. She's like, if you are maintaining listenership in 2024, you are winning because people have every other place to go and they have 10 more podcasts in their queue to download. And some weeks they just don't get to yours or they find another one they enjoy. And so they split time. She's like, our numbers have gone way down. And she's like, we're still as consistent as ever. And I was like, I never thought about that. Because Bracken and I have been racking our brains being like, part of our man weekend a month ago was like, let's figure this out and let's turn the ship around. Because we've been really consistent and done what we feel are right moves. We've just gotten a little complacent. But nonetheless, it shouldn't affect listenership. And then I heard that and I was like, interesting take. Is that how it is now? Like, do you really got to like slut yourself out or something to get attention these days? Or to just keep doing what you're doing is not enough? Do we got to wear lower cut tops? I don't know. So it's just interesting. And I was curious if you experienced any of that in recent years compared to the past.
Well, our numbers dipped, and then someone told me that like iTunes did something that like rejiggered it, and so everybody's dipped supposedly. Mm. And just like every once in a while, you'll notice dips in Instagram, and like people with fake followers will drop massively, and those of us that have pretty legit followings will still lose some because there's always a few that sneak in there.
Yep.
The podcasting game, like once upon a time, it was just that, right? And if you did like other social, it kind of had nothing to do with it, right? Whatever social you did probably wasn't that much, right? And now like the attention is so much, there's a lot of attention in a lot of places, right? So once upon a time, they said, oh, just throw it up on YouTube, even with a thumbnail, because some people listen that way and people will find it. And I was like, I never want to bother to do that. That seems more trouble than it's worth. Then I started noticing a couple of years ago, if I put up not even the best part of a podcast, let's just say, just finding 10 minutes quickly, grabbing it and throwing it up, that people would appreciate it, right? Because they really don't want to sit there for 2 hours. But now I think you see the big shows, they do all of it, right? Club Shay Shay is going to put up his entire episode, and he's also going to put up 10 clips. Same thing with McAfee, same thing with Barstool. Like but they have people to do that shit. Here's one cool question that our guest answered. It's a 7-minute clip, and here's the whole thing. So I know I can't do all of that, so I try to do some of that. And I used to always think, like if I put a clip on Instagram, it's like, oh, watch the whole thing in the YouTube and the podcast. It's like, now I've understood that probably won't happen. The Instagram audience isn't necessarily leaving, but if it keeps to go to the podcast, but if it keeps on going back to my Instagram, great, then I'm going to grow that. So that's kind of how I look at it. You guys, I think, should definitely be throwing this on YouTube exactly how it is. Like, you don't have to edit it other than the beginning and the end. Don't even do an intro. Hey, here's me, us with Matt. Just throw this up. I think you would get people because it's called The Running Public.
We're working on that. We got a guy, and but there's this mysterious thing happening, and every single time we record, the last 10 minutes of me is gone. Video wise, and you can't figure it out, and that's the roadblock right now.
I would say dump Squadcast. Then that's sounds like a Squadcast problem. Sorry, Squadcast.
Might be.
There's a thousand apps.
We have been in this abusive relationship with Squadcast for so long. We're dependent upon it, and we constantly talk about leaving for greener pastures, and we don't.
There's a million apps that like do podcasting, by the way, and I get emails from them every single day. Stick with one of the big ones that isn't going anywhere, and you'll be fine. Yeah. Either Spotify or Libsyn, just go with them, and off you go. I've had Libsyn since day one.
Okay, another question for you. When I first started my personal training business, left corporate America, and like lived on the edge for like 2 years, right? Like, where is my next meal going to come from? Da da da. Built up. Bracken did the same thing when he left teaching. You did that, and whenever, I don't know when you went full time. When did you go full time in all this?
14, 15.
So with that, and now, so you're, let's just say you're on 9 or 10 years. Do you still have to go back and? Do you still have to like live on the line, so to speak, and like, where's my next meal going to come from? Da da da. Are you so rooted now in this space? Like, you get the ebb and flow of the career and you understand how this works and, you know, all of that? Or is it like still that like everyday hustle to figure out where it's going to come from? Or is there built in processes and systems, residuals, so to speak, to keep the lights on, we'll call it? Because I try to envision how you would make money exclusively off a podcast without like an obvious product. Like, Bracken and I coach and we have a running public training plan. So I'm curious about that side of things. Like, just like the hand to mouth situation of like, I see you like you're traveling across the world and you're covering all this stuff. And like, what's the actual return on investment? We don't need to talk dollars. She need to talk like overview, like 10,000 foot view. Like, what's all that like relying on this space for your career? Very curious. Is that too much? Did I ask too deep?
It's way
personal of a question there.
No, it's totally okay. It's totally fine. The line is really thin most of the time, and luckily, I have a wife that understands that and is on board for it. I mean, obviously, she knew who she married, and early on, when I was an entrepreneur with the staffing company, there was ups and downs, and she kind of. But it took a long time to finally get to where we are now with it, where she's just like 100% like my rock and my teammate. And when stuff is tight and I say, honey, we're going to figure this out because we always do. And she's that much like more into it because of like, we just do. So most people don't understand it because they just couldn't live without the steady check or the massive ups and downs. I don't know any other way to do it but this. The hardest part for me was watching the OCR window close and debating for years. I think I had this conversation with Bracken. It's like, should I do more running content? Should I do more CrossFit content? Like, I can't survive on this forever. And then thankfully, the hybrid train started coming and I'm like, okay, that's it. Because that's the closest to what I already do. And I already know the athletes, and I think that can be my parachute, if you will. The problem is starting from zero fucking sucks. And whatever you guys think, the boost helped getting started with like HFM. Like, it's really hard. I just had 5,000 followers. Trust me, I'm watching it every fucking day. It's really hard. But I'm very confident that future is there. But yeah, I've got like, all these, like, every year I've just figured it out. You know what I mean? Like, the year that Bracken and I did all that live streaming, like, that was a nice chunk of income for me that year. Tough Mudder paid me, Savage paid me, OCRWC paid me, and then that went away for reasons I think you know about. And it's like, okay, that money's not coming in. I don't have some big budget somewhere that's like, okay, we lost this. How are we going to replace that? It wasn't like that scene in Moneyball. I'm not that – I don't plan that much ahead. I just keep going after it.
Yeah.
This is a tricky space because the running world is so enormous. But at the top end, they only choose their professionals, right? You and I aren't going to be announcing the Boston Marathon anytime soon or the Olympics or putting on coverage for the Olympic trials. So what's left from there are road races, high school, college. They're not really aware that we exist. And so it's a huge space, but it's so big that we don't exist in many of the movers and shakers' minds in that world. And so you're reliant upon the niche sports to do it, but the niche sports are so tenuous. So have you had... Dick, do you have a parachute? Have you had your out? Or are you like Michael Scott in The Office where he's like, if this ends tomorrow, then I start the Michael Scott Paper Company. And they're like, Michael, yeah, stop it. He's like, that's another one. That's another name. I have a ton of names. I'm just going to keep making more because that's all I'm going to do.
I mean, like
I
said.
Is that your route?
Well, like I said, I was more like back in the mind a little bit like, oh, shit. Like, what am I going to do? I mean, even when Battle Frog went out of business, I remember thinking like – this we might have seen the peak, or maybe a year after when I looked back at the traffic and the traffic had started to die because there was like this peak in 2016. But yeah, I just don't know how to do it any other way. Like, will I ever get to retire? Probably not. I'll probably work until I'm dead, but I'm okay with that, right? If this is my job, if my job is doing talking and entertaining and creating content, like I can do all those things. And I joke about if I had less kids, I could have more employees. And maybe that day will come. I mean, I can tell you that the Alula thing was nice. And I got that phone call because I put in 12 years of work leading up to it, right? But mm-hmm. I need a bunch more of those, right? I need to be – like I've been that guy, right? Like I did get to write a book, right? That was like some money, right? So I like being the guy that I am, there's value in that. And I'm just really hoping that hybrid grows in a way kind of faster and bigger than OCR. So that when the bigger players do come, they're like, oh, well, that's the guy. Obviously, that's the guy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When we started...
Even though there's bigger podcasts than mine, like, just really quick, let me just say this. Mm-hmm. Even though there's a ton of hybrid podcasts and some of them are really good, no one's still really doing what I'm doing. They're not doing the news thing, right? They're just like, oh, here's an interview. Here's Hunter. Here's a fun guest. Here's Lauren. And that's all great, but not really doing the actual media thing. So hopefully I'll be that guy. When the bigger dollars come in.
Yeah. When Bracken and I, we were in pre-contemplation with this podcast for a while. And then we started actually talking seriously about it. And I don't know how much you remember, and I'm not trying to like pat myself on the back, but like OCR was still, it was the fizzling end of its like, it was still, we still had grandeur, ideas of grandeur with it in 2020. And like the initial conversations, Bracken, were OCR podcast, right? Like it was... And my argument, and I know right. You agreed with it, but it was like, well, running, we're talking about 1% of the population that runs, our OCR athletes. Like, we need to have a bigger picture. And you were quickly like, yeah, let's do that, of course. But, like, really glad that we did because it was going to be...
I think it was my idea.
What?
Back when you were going to call it Cowboy Bebop, what were you going to call it?
KB Corral.
Cowboy Up, what were you going to call it?
KB Corral.
Duh.
Well, I'm gonna go with Cowboy Up instead.
Picture the album cover for that.
Amazing. Trust me, amazing.
We're gonna put it out someday.
We should.
One of you with the hat tilted, the other one with the hat up, right?
Both leaning against a fence.
Both leaning against a fence.
With our shirts off. Obviously. In chaps.
Love it. Yeah.
Do you still look good with your shirt off, Bracken?
I can confirm.
Just asking if you think
that's a really nice compliment.
I can confirm.
That's establishing that you thought I did at one point.
It's more like the coloring. Oh, the coloring.
Do I need to pop my top off right now? Fire off a few push-ups?
Coloring is tough on both of us this time of year. You got to go easy on us. It hurts the eyes no matter how fit you are. It's cold and dark up here.
You going to be in New York City, Matt?
I am going to be in New York City.
You can check out my physique then. Or lack thereof.
I knew you'd already been taken, but I was trying to get you on my relay team. But I knew you'd already be spoken for. But I thought I'd try.
Yeah. In fact, it was like 2 days earlier. Someone snagged me. Anyways, we can compare bodies in New York.
But yeah, the traveling thing is always, it's always, am I making money on this trip or not? And if I'm not, like, is the juice worth the squeeze, right? Is it worth to get the content to, you know, I'd gone to Spartan because I can run the race and get a nice video. Those get a lot of clicks, the Spartan obstacles videos. Savage was the next week. I got to be honest. It wasn't a series race. I knew there wasn't going to be a lot of big names. Traffic isn't as great. I mean, there was a time I would never miss a Savage race, right? Sorry, Savage. Right. It's nothing personal. I'll go to the fall one. But it was the weekend after another race where I'd been gone all weekend with, you know, away from the family. And so I didn't go. But like, it's always, I travel a lot less than I did. I can tell you that. I used to go to everything.
For as much criticism as you will throw when it's necessary towards any organization or event, like, you have no problem saying, like, you sucked here or step it up here or get out of your own butt here. Like, you have no problem with that. But yet, because of your career, you must have, you must underneath it all be like rooting so hard for everybody. You're in a difficult position, no, really, of being critical, but also like you need this to be successful for you to be successful. So I just feel like when you talk about a thin line, it'd be an interesting position to be in. Like, you need these sports to do well because that's good for all of us. Yet, your job is also sort of to spit hot takes, which could, you know, turn the wrong, I don't know, eye on something. So I just think it's an interesting position to be in, is all. Do you ever think about that? Or not really?
I just don't know any other way to be. You know what I mean? I just have a bad poker face. So if something's great, I'll tell it. If something sucks, I'll tell it. Yesterday, I went off on my stories because Spartan found some money to give away, and people were like, yeah, but what about the race that already happened? Why aren't you giving us money for that? Well, because it already happened. Why aren't you also doing it for Canada? Well, because there's not enough fucking money for Canada. Canada has 6 races. We have 50.
What about my $1,300 bucks for
anyway,
my
I just can't, I,
Powerlift sponsorship that I know Powerlift paid you, Spartan, but you never got it to me somehow. Nasty SOBs.
Powerlift is a Spartan sponsor? I thought they were a DECA sponsor.
Well, it doesn't matter.
There were some mixing them streams.
I did a 3-month stint with them, which was known, and yeah, never saw that. But they can go pay whoever decides to show up in Big Bear money. Doesn't deserve it as much as I do, Spartan.
Truth be told, they'll get it in a year, but that's another reason why. But that's another reason why Spartan
McCauley is still owed $1,000 from the Middle East Championship in 2017.
Unbelievable.
You could probably find someone from every year. But let's not digress.
You know the funny part about that, Matt?
What's that?
He contacted them about it and like, we sent it out. He said, can I see the receipt? They showed him it. They sent it to Sergey's bank account.
Amazing.
So Sergey got McCauley's and they said, sorry, we sent it out. Like, talk to Sergey.
Good for Sergey.
Classic Russian wire transfer fraud.
Just click that part. That's your clip.
There you go.
Back to Matt.
Anyway,
Matt.
Yeah,
I'm running this show now. Okay. Just kidding. We're all running this. I gave you guys the first 10 minutes. Now the last hour 50 is mine. I want to know about a day in the life of Matt in this space for real. And I know every day is different because it's so different. But like when you're running a schedule, let's say you're like trying to sort through like what do I cover, who do I talk to, blah, 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 all that stuff. Like what does an actual day in a fitness media podcaster's life look like? Curious. Ours are very different. What happens? What all goes on? What are the task lists? Things like that.
A long time ago, I learned that if I could do all my interviews on Tuesdays or Wednesdays, that would probably be good instead of just, hey, when can you talk? Cool, let's do it. Right, which is what I used to do. Right, so I have a little link that I use. Right, and people pick those dates. So I attempt to do that. I have been in the past very consistent with we're going to have these episodes on this day and this day. Last few years, they're all over the place. I think yesterday was a great example. Yesterday, I had certain plans, and then I got the heads up from Gary that we could go ahead with this news about the thing. I'm like, well, this is breaking news. I got to get it out. So there isn't a lot of Mondays I do this, Tuesday I do that. I try to leave Friday free, try not to schedule anything Fridays because if something does come up, I want to be able to do it, right? I can tell you that much. But yeah, get up, help the wife get the kids out of the house. I usually go to a co-working spot. Today I'm home because I just knew I was going to be recording a lot, talking to you guys. I'm recording some other episode stuff. This co-working spot has like the little phone booths, but you got to reserve them and you got to do the thing. It was just a lot going on today. So yeah, that's what I'll do is I'm usually either interviewing somebody, editing a podcast, doing a social media post, something in that world, right? And then, you know, life happens, right? I got to go get the oil changed, right? And the weekends is too crazy.
But in your position,
like to stop working.
To interrupt, yes. There's no stop and start. I have to imagine, like, Matt's up at 8:30 at night on the couch with his wife, but pissing around on his phone because that's the world, right? Like that stuff has to happen. Or are you? I had a conversation with somebody who's looking to get like their own thing started up, and I think there's like missing time chunks for this person where like it's just like into the abyss, right? There's like 30 minutes lost here and there to who knows what, right? Do you have to be,
dude? If you're
no, go ahead.
If you're young and or don't have, if you're young and or don't aren't married or without kids, like, you should stay up as late as you can and just fucking grind. Do everything you can. I cannot work at night. My brain just doesn't function in the way it used to. It's worse than ever. It used to be like, I could try to do an interview at 7. Not a chance of doing an interview at 7 now. Yeah, I like to finish work by like on a good day, 4:35, on a bad day, like later. And then run 2 or 3 times a week. And then, yeah, the wife and I, like, shut it down. Like, last night was really good. Last night, after I posted that video about the Spartan thing, I'm like, I'm turning this off. I don't want to see the responses till the morning. So that was like 6:30, 7 o'clock. Most nights, it's more like 8:30. And then this goes into airplane, and the wife and I do Netflix and chill. We watch a show together or two. She falls asleep, and then I watch another half an hour or an hour of, say, something she wouldn't care about, like, you know, the Patriots Dynasty documentary. And then I go to bed. So I'm in bed mostly by 10 or 10:30. 10:30, I would say, is safe. But yeah, I can't, like, when I had the staffing company, I would just work, and I would do emails at night and, like, all that crazy shit. I can't, my brain just shuts down now.
It's tough. People rightfully so say that we have, like, a cool occupation. If you love running, this is a cool occupation. We talk about running.
Do you love shoes?
Yeah.
Do you love gels? This is the job for you.
Yeah. Well, you can leave those gels out for me.
Is this a hot take?
I can't stand using gels.
I can't stand using them over time. Like, but what do you do for a 3-hour race? What do you do for your marathon?
Tailwind.
Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
Or something. I have to drink it. I don't like it. I can. I have. I prefer not to. Anyways, point is, Kirk and I have a pretty sweet setup if running's your passion. If you like this, very few people, their hobby gets to be what they do all day long. And then they say, like, what's the downside? What are we missing? And the downside is that, like, running doesn't sleep. News doesn't sleep. Athletes sleep in different time zones. Like, if you're willing to let it, you have a notification at all times to get to. And that's the only, like, we don't have stressful meetings to prepare for. We don't have performance reviews to do. It's kind of like on us.
Right.
The only stress comes on my end from knowing there's work that could be getting done right now and you're not doing it because there is no clock in, clock out. There are times I wake up in the middle of the night, go to the bathroom, check my phone. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, don't never do that. Why would you do that?
Ugh. Just to see the time.
Don't do that. Put a watch on your nightstand.
Listen, I'm not here for advice, Matt.
Sorry.
I'm here to say that has there been a time where 3 a.m. I realize this athlete who is in Shanghai or in Australia could use an answer right now because they're about to do a workout? Yes, they should, and I'm going to answer it. But that's not healthy. Even though my entire life is built around health and it's stress-free, there's these little blips knowing you could be always working. News doesn't sleep. You could always be doing something. And to me, that's the biggest downside of something like this, other than not having a guaranteed retirement and salary waiting for you.
Yeah, I mean, I've not been able to sleep, and I'm like, I know the answer is not to look on my phone, right? And so it's like, okay, can I like survive now because I don't have the distraction of the phone and I'm just like trying to get my mind to slow down. And then if you have one of those nights where you just keep waking up, it's like 5:30. It's like, okay, this is safe enough. It's the morning-ish. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start looking at things. But no, I've had my phone up until at least even 9, like where I keep picking it up. What I have to do is turn it off or literally throw it across the room, like gently. Because if I'm watching a show and I want to Google something, of course I'm going to see that I have 3 unread text messages. And of course I'm going to click them. So yeah, I have to just, like any good addict, I have to just like, okay, let me get this out of my sight so I can focus on what I want to focus on.
Well, you're doing a good job.
My wife gets up to go to the bathroom or brush her teeth.
Because
then you scuttle into the other room quick behind your back and take care of your itch.
No, then I like have to sit there and like, okay, do I change the channel to watch YouTube for 5 minutes while she's out of the room? Because I can't just sit there and be with my own thoughts.
Well, I sent you a personal message reminding you of this conversation on Instagram this morning, and it still says it's not read. So you have no problem seeing notifications up on your phone and not clicking them, from my personal experience. Well, but it was to your personal account.
Yeah, because I don't have notifications.
Yeah.
Text is the only one. Text is the only notification that I even have on. Everything else, I don't.
Mm. I had a question.
That's good.
No? Yeah. Ugh. God, I had a good question for you. Now I'm forgetting. We got sidetracked. Shoot.
And I barely checked the personal Instagram. I was looking for it because I was trying to text you to say, where are you? I'm on the link from your email that says, you know, TRP podcast.
I don't.
Because people do that. It automatically does that with Google Meet.
Oh, yeah. I don't think we have each other's phone number. Maybe that's what it is.
Probably not.
Hmm.
And this is what getting older is like. I went back and forth between hybrid and ORM twice to you, to Running Public, and it wasn't there. I'm like, I know we talked on Messenger. It's like, oh, Mappy Davis, there you go.
I'm still thinking on my question, Bracken. Go right ahead.
Well, one of the most fascinating changes to your trajectory to me was your ultravirus race.
Yeah,
I wouldn't say we're the closest of anyone in the industry, but we always have tabs on what the other is doing. And suddenly you put on a race. And I just never saw that in your future. I didn't know that was an interest of yours. Obviously, you reacted to the times and you put on the ultravirus race. And I thought it was such a dumb idea. Like, who is going to run an ultra alone digitally? Like, if you want to get a long run, you're going to do it already. The last thing I want to do is be like, yeah, I'm going to run an ultra and then DNF by myself. that's stupid. And pay for a long run DNF. I just didn't get it. And it was such a success, which is just another strike in the column against me as a Nostradamus for any sort of industry. I'm just bad at predicting trends. But since that time, did that quench your thirst to be an event manager, or are you thinking about what is that next big thing I'm going to do?
I would say neither. The ultravirus seemed like a fun idea, and someone like me that's like, you know, ADD and a little manic, there are a lot of good ideas that I have, and some I follow up with and some I don't. And this was one that just felt like it would probably work. And I was so like, I was messaging everybody personally because I was like, I got to get people for this. I got to get people for this. But it took on its own life pretty quickly. Like, I reached out to a bunch of big names, like the big names that I knew, like Wardian and what's her name? And the other girl. I'm sorry, I can't think of their names right now. It'll come to me in a minute. Devin Yanko. And then it kind of took on its own life, right? And that's another thing where, how am I going to make money in 2020? And then that came along and actually was decent. And so then I did another one and the numbers were down. And by the second one, there were a ton of virtual races. And so yeah. I was going to be done. And so many people were like, can you please do a third one? And I was like, fine. And then it was barely attended. Right. And then a few more months or another month went by and I was like, well, what if we change the format? And so we did, and it still wasn't attended. And that was the last one. But I put on a race here twice a year called Run the ATL, where we run around this Beltline thing. That was another just like, hey, this might be fun. And then it turns out a couple hundred people like we're doing it. Now the numbers are way down. But no, if I had all the money in the world, like would I put on an OCR? Probably not. You mean?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Would you want, if you had all the money in the world, would it interest you to put on a race, or is that just not your thing?
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, I think I could. I would just put more money into this. The thing about my race, though, this Run the ATL, is that it's like this underground thing. It's like I don't get permits for the entire city to run 20 miles, right? Like that would be really hard. So I'd want to do cooler stuff. Like people, you know those Yeti races? You know that guy? People during COVID did his, like, before the Goggins thing, because I know the Goggins has this huge 48 by 48. He had a 4x24 one.
Mm.
And Yeti, he's a local guy. And then I saw in my fucking, like, everybody was doing this race. And he makes, like, really cool t-shirts and has cool swag. And, like, I would put more money into that stuff for my local race. But I do not want to be an event director. I actually really like this. I really like talking to people. And I really like, I hate using the word making content, but I like whatever that is. That fuels my creative juices. You know, this video I made this morning, which I thought would take 5 minutes and took an hour, of the CrossFit Hyrox thing that I put out. Like, it's a minute video. It took me an hour to do, but I feel really good about it. You know what I mean? That's what I like doing.
So you wouldn't cut those pieces out. You'd cut the other pieces out to keep making content.
Well, I would hire people to help, and I would like do the interview and go, great, cut this into five things for me, right? And then I would go to races with my own camera guy and be like, let's make cool stuff. Because I don't know about you guys, but that's the thing, is I'm super critical of other people that do this kind of stuff, especially if they're bigger or more famous, and I don't think they're very good at interviewing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or I don't, you know, I'm not a fan of the Buttery Bros. You know, those guys like make who knows how much money on their garbage.
Who is, right? Though?
What's that?
That's one of those, not to trash talk people, but they seem to be one of those people that no one's sure who likes them. They just know they're big.
I mean, the proof is in the pudding. They clearly make money off YouTube, money off mm-hmm. sponsors. Maybe there's a shelf life to it. Maybe after a couple more years, people are like, I've seen enough of those. Or there's starting to be people kind of like that in other spaces. Mm-hmm. And it's like the bros thing. But then again, look at Barstool, look at bro culture. I guess it's not going anywhere.
Bro culture's not leaving. But you have to find new people to replace it. No one wants middle-aged version of the Buttery Bros.
Yeah, I guess. You mean just the younger version of them will come
up? The younger version is going to pop up. Because I think the huge part about bro culture is they aspire to be like these.
Dude, I remember the first time I saw a Logan Paul video. And I was like, this guy sounds a lot like Hunter. Like, that's literally the first thing I thought. Because like Hunter was kind of, he's not so much anymore, but he was kind of walking that line of, I'm pretending to be a douche, but I kind of am. By the way, Hunter is not. But you know what I'm saying? Like let's drink White Claw and wear these onesies ironically, but we're kind of really doing it. Like that was his brand, Hunter, and it was the Buttery Bro, or that was Logan Paul. And I was like, oh, I guess this is a thing, because this reminds me of Hunter.
Are you the one always responding to people on all of your channels? Is it you? Is it only you? You don't have any, your wife doesn't help out on the side. It's all, you're always the interaction piece all across the board.
Correct.
We tried.
Correct. Why do you ask?
Because I'm just genuinely curious. We tried having somebody handle our social media, and we realized being out of touch with it, everything, it doesn't work. Like, it's better to have, we're not cool or big enough to have help. Like, we need to have our hands on it, and it's been much better since. And that's no fault to who was helping. It's just it's on us to be in touch with like our listeners and all of that. And
was it Lisa? Because I thought it was Lisa.
Initially, years ago, she and Jess helped, right? But that was like COVID times.
Well, you just have so many. You got your hands in a lot of cookie jars, right? You got more moving parts than we do. So I figure it could get complicated.
You also don't have to respond to everybody.
I make it a point to respond to everybody.
Our issue. Matt. No, you don't have to. Our issue, and I know someone would point out the flaw in this logic, though, is that because we've tried to position ourselves as subject matter experts to some extent, people want to ask questions. And so oftentimes it's questions that we're the only people in our circle that would know how to answer that question the way we would answer it. And we don't want to leave customers and listeners hanging on questions that we find important to their lives.
Yeah, I mean, but so you've got a slightly different thing. I mean, I think I might have talked about this before, but people reach out to me instead of Spartan for a very obvious Spartan question.
Okay.
It's because Spartan's real bad at it. And so you guys have a slightly different thing, because somebody asks you a question about running or shoes, it's like, oh, well, this is a potential client, or this is my client. But you might, I mean, we could talk about different ways to cover that, but I used to respond to every single one, and now I just don't. Like, when I was in Saudi, it was hours and hours apart, and so I was seeing them hours and hours later, and it kind of made it easier to go, all right, well, that's not, like, whatever. The thing about staying off the phone at night is another huge thing, right? Somebody messages me at 8 and asks me a question, and then there's a message 2 hours later from them, found it. You know what I mean? So yeah, that's always a good one. Yours is slightly different, but there are people that I interact with all the time, and then there's people that I answer them sometimes, because there are people that write me all the time, and sometimes just LOL is fine or whatever, but I get asked questions I don't answer all the time.
People use you as Zendesk?
Yes.
That'd be annoying.
Yeah.
I actually created an autoresponder, and I've only used it once, when it was someone that I didn't know at all, and they just asked some very basic Spartan question. I had ChatGPT write a question that says, it sounds like you're looking for Spartan. They can be reached at.
Nice.
... But no, that's been happening since day one. Or my least favorite thing is when they ask a question about the video I just put out. Hey, I haven't had time to watch your video. Will you answer this for me? No, I will not.
That's fair.
That's a good one.
You always have to figure out what to do with, and it's great because they're consuming your content and they are supporters, right? However, they somehow end up in your inbox every day about something, you know, to the point where you're like, yeah, well, I don't, you know, every day at this point, it's always tricky because you want to help and you want to respond and it's fantastic. You're so engaged. At the same time, there's like boundaries, right? You get that probably in the ultimate sense.
And that's the problem with being where we are, right? It's the problem with being where we are, right? Because if we were Al Pacino, not Al Pacino, he's too old. If we were Timothy Chalamet,
Al Pacino,
we'd have so many DMs we couldn't. It just
first person that came to your head of all people.
We couldn't even think about it.
Like from Tropic Thunder, Body Sweat.
More like Heat Al Pacino, because she got a great ass. Anyway, like if you have a million messages, then you just, well, I can't even begin to look at any of these. You might pick a couple out. Oh, I'll say hi to this person. But when you have what we have, which is like, well, I kind of feel bad and they're going to feel bad, or will they think less of me if I don't reach back out or whatever. But every stimulus does not deserve a response. That's one of the best things I ever heard, right? Every stimulus does not deserve a response. It doesn't require a response. Sorry. So it's like someone wants to pick a fight with you, even like through email or through whatever, or a family member that you're trying to draw a bond with. Like, you don't have to answer. Like, it's okay. So anyway, that's kind of how I look at it.
We're going to talk about money one more time. I have two questions I still want to ask you. And I'm genuinely curious in this space, not the actual amount of money, but how does a guy who covers content...
What do you make?
Yeah, what do you make? No. Where does it come from, like, exactly? Like, in your space, like, is it... When you go to a race, is it the race organization paying you? Is it just the sponsorships underneath it all for, you know, the companies you back? Is it all of the above? Like, where does it actually come from? Because you don't have a product. Like, you're not selling anything physically, I believe, right? Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I've tried to sell merch a couple times. Like, we've had shirts, and they just, again, but it's like putting your effort towards it. Like, that's something else I would do if I had a bigger, if I had more people and all the money in the world. I'd be like, cool, let's do merch. Let's make. I would have made Biceps Win Races shirt 5 years ago. He trademarked it now, so I can't. But I would have 5 years ago before he did.
Well, is it as simple as
whatever?
Is it as simple as like Hyrox finds value in the content you provide, and so they say, hey, come on out and we'll pay you to cover it, and it's that simple, or is it more complex than that? I think people want to know how, like,
way more complex than
it that is. Like, could you describe it just like a little bit?
Sure. I've got multiple revenue streams.
Well, I know
advertising
that
is one.
Yeah.
Right? Do you want to let me finish?
I do.
I said one and you stopped me.
Nice. I was like positively.
Can I finish? Can I finish?
That. Active listening, it's called.
So ad revenue.
Now go.
So advertising is one, right? And they advertise through the website, through podcast. Usually they get multiple, like it's not just one or the other. Like, hey, advertise with me and we'll talk about you on all these platforms. That's a, all right. Patreon is another. Mm. Affiliate revenue is another. YouTube revenue is another. Making actual, you know, we did this ultra race in the mountains and it was really cold. The backyard ultra, like that's content. I get paid for that. Sometimes a specific sponsor sends me to a race. Sometimes I'm trying to think of all the different ways I make money. Yeah, I've got that race I put on that brings in a little bit. When the race is closer, it brings in a lot more closer. But yeah, it's continuing to find ways to make money. But it's all those things. Once upon a time, it was just advertising. When OCR was bigger, I could live on just the advertising money. And I didn't focus that much on the other stuff. I should have done it sooner. Like if I'd focused on YouTube sooner and all that stuff. But yeah, like I don't know if you guys saw Instagram was giving away money for a couple months, right? You make money on Reels, a couple hundred bucks. It's nice. But yeah, so it's a bunch of different ways.
Sounds like a lot of different
Which
ways.
Is the most stressful?
The most stressful?
Yeah. Like for us, our stressors would be different than yours. We would hate making videos. We would hate creating content. Mm. We wouldn't like cold calling or negotiating. Like we just want to talk and we want to coach. And that's it. And on your end, you kind of get off on that process of making content. Yeah, I get the sense you like dealing with companies and the back and forth where we don't. So what do you not like in that process?
I mean, if you ask me the things I don't like, it would be the things I don't do, like better bookkeeping. Like everything else is fun. Like trying to get sales like can be fun. It's also like if there's nothing coming in the door, which there's been times that was worse when it was just advertising and I didn't have these other forms. Like I didn't even think I even started the Patreon until 5 years ago, right? It wasn't really a thing and I didn't know how to do it or whatever. So yeah, when there's nothing in the door and you're like feeling desperate, then it's no fun, right? Because they can feel that. Like people can tell when you're desperate, right? Mm. So,
but you don't have a task that hangs over your head like, this again?
No, like I said, then I just don't do it. Like things like being better at the books. And so my wife and I get behind on the books and then we catch up and then, right, we sit down and like, all right, we have to do this. Let's do it. Because neither one of us likes doing it.
So you're probably wondering.
I really do like my job.
Why I'm asking you so much about this. I have a reason, by the way. Like, so peek behind the curtains. Like, my, and I'm going to ask you about what you're hoping, like, maybe what this looks like for you in 5 or 10 years. But, like, ultimately, my personal training time has dwindled over the last few years, and I'm considering making the jump, right, to not going into the gym anymore and relying on everything revolving this podcast and coaching and all of that, right? And so when that happens, or if that happens, and this is, again, for our listeners, a peek behind the curtain, it's like, okay, like, what, how does this look, right? Like, what are we leaving on the table now that we may be able to, you know, entertain in the future, at least from my end? And so I'm personally curious. This isn't like, you know, I'm trying to get at you. What I'm doing is like trying to learn a little bit, like what is the hustle like in that regard, right? And we're very, you know, we provide a different content than you, but that's why I'm asking more than anything. Like, what are the things I'm not even thinking of, right? For example, we don't take advertisers. We had one sponsorship we've taken, Bracken, in 4 years, and it was like for a month window. Mm-hmm. We haven't done any of that, right? And so more of a personal selfish curiosity is all. Because eventually, a little more time might free up on my end.
Again, as a coach, it's a different thing, right? Like it's hard for you. I feel like people, the good news about all this stuff happening is that people do understand it. Once upon a time, it's like, oh my God, I'm not going to sell out, blah, 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 right? And people kind of get like, this guy has to pay the bills. So it's okay that he's talking about this thing or this race. Now it helps when I really love it, right? I love me some VJ shoes. I love when it's mud gear because I love those things, right? And I do a pretty good job when it's just something I don't know that well or that I'm talking about. And I know so because they tell me. Like these people are like, oh my God, thank you. That ad read was great. And it's like, I could kind of do that in my sleep, right? That's just what I'm good at. The only time people don't like it is I think some of these huge, massive, these like massive shows, right? Like the Bert Kreischers and those guys that are making a gazillion dollars, then they still do like 12 shitty ad reads. Those people are getting pushback, but we're not. You and I are fine. But you also, like, we'd have to talk some offline, but you know, you might be a person that just like, well, no, I wouldn't even start doing that until I had X money in savings and I did this and I had this money put away for that. And that's how some people do it. And I've just never been that guy. But yeah, could you guys take a sponsorship and then still do what you do? Like if it wasn't something you were 1,000% in on, like you're a Tailwind guy, could you do an ad for scratch? Probably not, right? Yeah. Bracken, could you do an ad for scratch if they paid you enough money?
Yeah, because I like scratch.
Well, you know what I'm saying though.
Right. Yeah, I think that for someone like us who talks about a ton of products and is very strict in our beliefs on what works and what doesn't, it has to be industry adjacent because we're going to say something bad about your company or good about a different company that's your, but something outdoorsy that isn't running, something nutrition that isn't race fuel. I think there's a lot of things out there for us, but if we're going to be talking about all your competitors, most brands aren't going to like that. If, you know, we got that early on with certain people. Like we entertain the conversation. This product is cool, but we like theirs more better.
Right.
Like, oh, you don't like ours as much? No, I like theirs more and theirs is better. But yours is a good option. And like that's a non-starter to a lot of companies. So it has to be adjacent, I think, not directly involved, if that makes sense.
I think about DC Rainmaker, right? He's just the review guy. I have no idea how much money he's making. I think it's a lot.
I think so too.
But he's not biased, right?
No, he's not.
Maybe you could be the DC Rainmaker of running shows.
I mean, I found him probably 2011 or whenever, 11 or 12. He was one of the first websites I started looking at for this whole pursuit of post-collegiate running. He was great from the start.
I don't even know who that is.
But yeah, we can talk offline more, Kirk. But you'll probably I'm guessing you have more discipline than I do to start with.
That's not Kirk's issue.
It's not my issue. Discipline's not his issue?
Discipline's not his issue.
Hey, desperation can make people, you know, really get to work though, you know, and that's an important component when you rip the Band-Aid off and start something new. Like if you're desperate, you can find a way, right? I don't think I can do the whole like save up enough money and I'm doing fine that way. Like things are going well, but I'm saying like save up enough money and make 80% of your revenue before you leave your job and do this. Like, no, like I got to leave and I got to be all in and I got to either give it a real shot or not. Cause that crap does not work. No way. Okay. And I got one more question for you. And then I don't know what you got, Bracken, but I just want to know, like, if let's say this hybrid thing really rolls as it is, and it seems like it's really got legs and it's pretty awesome. And you jumped in and you're doing a good job covering and all that. Do you think 5-10 years, like best case scenario, like what the hybrid fitness media or ORM would be at, like what that could look like? Like for Bracken and I, again, peek behind the curtains, like we're really want to grow our monthly subscription plans because that's helpful for us, you know, more engagement, more involvement, more residual income to keep doing what we're doing. And maybe for me to leave the gym and continue doing this, right? So big term is we grow our brand and we grow our subscriptions and that would be really good for everybody. Like for you, what would that look like in 5-10 years? How would you grow with the field?
I mean, I love that you're asking me questions that you assume I've thought about. Because I've not thought about it. I'm pretty much making it up as I go. I talked to Angel the other day, Angel Sainz, who's in charge of Spain Spartan and Spain Deca, and he said building the airplane as we fly. I said I like to think about it more like I'm building the bridge and like I only build like two boards ahead or one board ahead and then I stand on that board. Plane sounds dangerous, like you could fall out of the sky. I just like the bridge. Maybe you can't fall that far, but yeah, that's just how I've done it. And what I always say is I'm not saying it's the way, it's just a way. And there's a lot of good that comes with, and I'm gonna use the term manic. I am diagnosed bipolar and I am on medication for that. So when I say manic, I don't mean like crazy mania, but like in the manic sense of, all right, let's just fucking go, let's just do this. And I do have a wife that's really good with that stuff and that I can check in with that I used to not, right? So a little peek behind the curtain, as you keep saying, I used to just be like, let's go. And then I realized, like, wait a minute. Like, what's, like, she's like, what are you doing? Like, you're being crazy and, like, you're not including me. And now I just, like I'm thinking about putting some effort towards this. Like, even the hybrid thing. I said, I think I'm going to give it a go, and it means I'm going to be spending less time on the obstacle stuff. And what do you think? And, you know, like, I kind of check it around that stuff. But the way that I do it is the only way that I've ever done it. And what's the best thing I ever did, honestly, was stop trying to be something else. Because for the first, from the time I started my staffing company in 03 or 04 till probably 2016, I was like, I'm really bad at these things. How can I get better? And then I stopped trying to do that. Like, oh, I should plan more. I should do this. It's like, just go. Like, you can get tools. You can be more organized. There are times that I have a to-do list in Notes, and I check them off and I do them. And then, like, I go to do one and I haven't done one of those in 3 months. So there's really no rhyme or reason. I've always said if I had a great, like, number two, like a great true operations person, then I could probably grow faster because they'd keep me in line or say, you have these 10 things to do today. But this is the way I've done it, and I don't really plan it. And most people would, like, lose their mind in fear because they couldn't do it this way.
Does your business ebb and flow with your bipolar? Like, do you find your workflow patterns after that?
Well, I mean, I think before I was medicated, yeah. Like, yeah. For sure. Like, I look back, I had this convention in San Francisco, and I stayed up all night, it sounds like a joke, but seriously, I, like, redid this whole fucking staffing plan of what the event was going to be, and I thought it was amazing. I stayed up all night. I was like, look what I did. And it's like, yeah, I wouldn't do that today. That's not healthy, because I was, when the crash comes, it's bad. So now, and that's why the sleep thing is so important to me, fellas. That's why the sleep is non-negotiable. It's not, I got to stay up and work. It's like, nope, I'm getting my hours, because if I'm even off a little bit, I feel it, and it just kind of doesn't work. The sleep is everything else, right? Mm-hmm. So, but I just say, like manic kind of loosely, just the like,
right.
Just not very, I don't know what the word is. Not very quiet.
Yeah, I think
I don't do most things quietly, I guess.
I think, like, a lot, there's a whole sector of people who, like, the big picture, like, the down the road is, like, daunting. Like, you get paralyzed if you start thinking, like, oh my God, the task at hand is so big, like, thinking 10 years, 5 years down the road and this empire I would like to create, like, that can paralyze most people. Like, just worrying about what's in front of your face and clawing, like, one grain of sand at a time kind of is the way to build, right? For a lot of people, it is. Like, I think there's a lot to say about that. Just, like, worry about what's today and tomorrow, and, like, let's not think too far ahead, because, like, one, we can't predict it, and two, like, I think, I don't know, the thought of that is sometimes, like, counterproductive. Like, it's the same thing as building fitness. Like, you don't worry about, like, oh my God, my 6 month marathon build and all the work. Like, Jesus. No, you, like, alarm goes off at 6, you put your shoes on. Like, let's start there. Like, sometimes that's just better, right?
6. What are you, a lunatic?
5. What time? What's non-lunatic time?
Kirk's missed it by an hour if it's 6.
I'm joking. I'm being facetious. I know some people get up at like 4:30 and go to the gym. That's just not me.
My wife gets up at 4 a.m. Psycho.
Right.
Yeah.
Who does that?
Psychos.
Fastest runner on my collegiate team was diagnosed bipolar manic depressive. And so I got to watch how medication interacted with that. And then obviously going into special education, a lot of OCD, a lot of bipolar, a lot of manic, things like that. And then also coaching, watching how things interact, the difference between classroom performance and athletic performance based on medication schedules. You say you try to run 2 or 3 times a week. I don't know when exactly you started on medication, but what have you found in terms of benefiting your life and workflow versus what it does to your ability to train?
I mean, I had a really good, mostly 10-year run of exercise, even though I didn't get diagnosed until 2017. Like, once I started running for Spartan races, basically, like clockwork, I'm running 25 miles a week without trying. And then if I was training for an ultra, I would build that up. And I was never not running. And then I started getting hurt, and that became an excuse not to run. And then I started getting just lazier, and that became an excuse not to run. So yeah, it's like, here are things that make me more serene in life, right? That work for me. Good sleep, good diet, exercise, meditation, going to 12-step meetings. Like, all those things help. When I do at least one of them, I'm pretty good. When I do more, I'm even better. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there have been times in my life that I did, like, the gratitude list every morning. Like, I had a notebook just, like, every day, like, 2 years, like clockwork. I was probably pretty content most days, because, and I haven't done that in a really long time, right? So I don't beat myself up about it. I just, like, do what I do. And so, yeah, all those things. But sleep is the one thing that's I don't fuck with out of all those things. And I eat mostly good. But, some like I said, I'm a little heavier now than I want to be. But, yeah, if I'm tired, I'm not good. I mean, it's so funny because I see it in my kids, right? My son River's 10 years old and basically like, oh, yeah, he's out of his mind because he didn't sleep last night.
Mm-hmm. Did you find any – when did you start first using medication for bipolar?
Oh, in 2017, I wanted to die and medication wasn't fixing it and I couldn't figure out what it was. And so I went to an outpatient program and I started taking whatever they started giving me. And like, I haven't, from that point on, my meds haven't changed and I take them. And I know that's a weird thing. Like, people always don't take them and then they,
right.
Mm-hmm. And then they, I feel great. I don't want to take them anymore, which is kind of like, I exercised. I feel better. Why would I ever want to exercise again? Like, right. You have mm-hmm. to do it every day. So, so yeah, that's when things shifted for me. And that was like 44 years old or 45 years old. It was a pretty big wake up call.
And what did that specifically, that medication, do to your running? Did it impact you at all?
When I couldn't find the right thing, I like did like it made me sweat in weird ways. But when I finally found the right one, it didn't. I mean, I think what I take now does make me a little drowsy. So I take it at night instead of one in the morning and one at night. But I can still go running at any time. Okay. But I'm more sluggish now. Again, I think it's the... I think you guys are going to convince me to get on testosterone because I'm just tireder. I'm just more tired. Like the things you just don't see it coming in a way that like the first time you like put your feet on the floor and you just don't move as quickly as you did, like whatever that first time that hits at age 33 or 35. And so a bunch of those things kind of keep happening as you get older. Like, huh, like, I can't get up as fast as I used to. I can't just jump out of this chair. I have to stand up and then go.
Are you training for...
That's coming for you. That's your future.
Are you training for anything? Do you have anything? I guess we haven't asked you about that. Anything going on with that for you?
Training for life.
Oh, life.
I did my first DECA Strong the other day. I'll do another one of those. But I'm not... This is the least I've ever been... This is like... Yeah, this is the least I've ever trained. Hmm. I'm going to do a Hyrox relay in New York. I ran 4 miles yesterday. My hip starts feeling fucked up again. It's my other hip this time.
It's not if something's going to bother you.
Backyard deco.
At that age, if you've been working out for a while, it's just like, what and how bad is it, right? Like, my list of things is probably 8 to 10, like things I'm monitoring constantly. It's just like, where is it on the scale today? That's how I feel about it, at least after running for 25 years straight at a high capacity. So I'm sure that's normal, right? And you're, gosh, so much older than we are. It's got to be tough.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I had a torn labrum in this hip. And so I got the shot like 6-8 months ago, went to PT for a long time. I think I'm going to need one in this hip. But the other thing I do is I do these backyard DECA workouts that I love. I'm a big fan of the RAM. And so I do a little DECA workout. So I run 500 meters like down the road and back. I measured it. And then I do the lunges and then I do squats and then I do like just 4 or 5 things. I do a farmer's carry around my house a couple times. It's like a little backyard DECA workout I do. That and running 3 to 5 miles a couple times a week. That's my current thing.
Knowing that you're probably the crazy neighbor.
Is that what you want to be doing?
Nope. Knowing,
is that what I want to be doing? No, I want to be doing more. I do want to be doing more.
Knowing that you're the crazy neighbor in the area makes me feel good. Like, you're still doing the things. Like, everybody who does hybrid and OCR ends up being like kind of the psychopath on their block. Like, what is that person doing running with kettlebells down the streets or all that? So that makes me feel nice for you.
Well, you know, I used to live in the east side of town and now I live on the less affluent side of town. And I can tell you that over there, everybody's running. Everybody's working out. Over here, I'm the only one in these streets. There's a guy at the bus station who every time I go by yells at me to get my knees up because that's what they must have told him at his football practice when he was in high school.
Get your knees up.
And one time after like 2 years, I finally stopped and I said, I'm running like 5 miles, so I can't have my knees up like you're just running up a hill really quickly. He didn't seem to care though.
No, he knew you were wrong. He's probably on his way to like coach some Olympic development program every day.
He's definitely in his mind. Definitely not. He's sitting at the bus stop. He's sitting at the bus stop with some alcohol because there's thing right behind it. But anyway, no, I'm definitely like the person. Like I'm the only person they see running around. And I, you know, anyway. But yes, I want to be doing more. Maybe I should get a coach.
Oh, you had one. I know you had one at one point.
Yeah, I've had a couple coaches, but right now I'm coachless.
Maybe not coachable.
Well, Matt, this is very, very abrupt shift, but as we wrap up here, I was having a catch-up session on a run the other day with someone, and all the nostalgia OCR stories came up, and it got to the point where we were just talking about the wildest, like most bizarre OCR experiences of all time. So if you had to rack your aging brain for memories, what jumps out at you over the course of this career? Just some of the most bizarre blips on your timeline.
I feel like you and I already did this, though. Didn't we already do this when I had you on my show for the Book of OCR?
I don't think so. What are the highlights of your lowlight reel in this industry? Because you've seen it all.
Yeah, I feel like we talked about this already.
What was your answer then?
I mean, we talked about Atlas Race, and we talked about the Battle Frog, and we talked about all that stuff.
So you're declining to answer?
I think you got to pick a more specific question, I think.
All right, Kirk, you're up.
I was curious to what he was going to say. I'm a new listener to this topic, so you know, I'm feeling a little slighted too now. I want to hear about it.
The other day, David Megiddo,
Do you guys remember
David Megiddo? I'm going. And the other day, David Megiddo said, do you remember that day where Hobie almost got bit by a snake on course, and then there were gators? We're like, that was a crazy time in sport. And then someone else said, do you remember blank happened, and this, and that? I didn't know if you had any of those highlights, but go on.
I think I'm tired of talking about it. How about that? Remember when Dana White just like said, I'm not doing any more podcasts? That's all I feel about that question. I don't want to talk about it.
About you don't want to talk about your interesting experiences.
I've just told all these stories so many times. That's all. Like I said, you'd have to ask me, like, if you ask me about a specific scenario, I can just talk about it. But just to say generally, it's just like.
No, it's funny. We haven't been denied like this since Sean Rogers. Sean Rogers gave us the big.
Sean Roberts?
Or Roberts. Sean Roberts gave us the big middle finger to half of our questions, said, not answering that. I don't want to talk about that. You can't ask. That was a tough one. That's the last time Bracken's felt this sort of denial.
You're on our Mount Rushmore. Yeah, you too. We have two people on our Mount Rushmore now of podcast guests.
Has anybody else said no? Like, I'm not, I don't want to answer that. I'm trying to think.
No. Nope.
All right. Matt, I actually have to go here soon. So can you tell people that live under a rock, like where are they going to find your content? Where's the best place for people to keep up with what you're doing if they don't know already? And we'll leave it at that. How's that sound?
All right. Well, listen, there, because I know that you are high in the running rankings, right? Plenty of people that aren't in our community. If you've been thinking about looking into obstacle racing, you can go to Obstacle Racing Media on all the platforms. And if you're into that Deca Hyrox stuff and you're looking into some hybrid stuff, Hybrid Fitness Media. That can be found, again, on all the platforms.
What are you most active on? Which platform?
For a while, it was Hybrid. But then, like, all this news kept breaking lately with obstacle racing. You know what I mean? This Alula thing was massive. And then and then Spartan just decided to add some. But there's a couple. I feel like a couple other big things happened in the last couple of weeks. Oh, I was at a local Spartan. Bye, sweetie. So both.
Great, Bracken. You want to try to wedge anything else in there today, or is your tail between your legs?
Tail's firmly between my legs, Kirk.
I'll probably think of a really good one as soon as we hang up. Because remember, I don't have that. I mean, this we have been talking a while, so I think I just could be. If you'd asked me that first question, it might have been better. But listen, you'll have me on again in
2028,
4 years, and I'll probably have a better answer.
2028,
probably have a better answer. Oh. How old will you be in 2028, Kirk?
40.
How old will you be in 2028, Kirk?
44 or 45, depending on when you get me.
I have a question for Bracken. Even though you and I are both on the outside of World OCR, on the not huge fans of World OCR.
Correct.
When they first said, hey, we actually are going to have this in LA in 2028, what are the percentage you get on?
Have the, what?
You get on the broadcast team.
Have what in 2028?
A version of a short obstacle racing course.
On modern pent.
In modern pentathlon.
There's no chance. They're going to keep their normal people doing that.
You don't think Carrie would make a phone call for you if you asked her?
I think Ian is going to put himself on the mic.
Not Donahue?
If I was a betting man, no one from our industry is entering their industry. Certainly not in a front-facing capacity.
There could be that hybrid, like different kind of hybrid athlete. There could be some pentathlon that does figure out to be a pretty good 100-meter racer in the next 4 years, and they show up to the occasional OCR, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, but that'd be them coming here. No one's going there. So anyways, my interest level is zero.
Zero.
OCR won't be in that Olympics. Modern pentathlon will be, probably, with maybe a OCR course, short 60 to 80 meters, as one of their disciplines.
You watch a lot of sport. Will you watch it on NBC, on tape delay?
If it is on, I will watch it. Generally, what I do with that is I watch the running portion of modern pent from the Olympics. I'll look up the replay of the, they used to call it the cross country run or the laser run, whatever they're doing now. They not quite 800 meter reps. I watch that. I have no interest to watch non-fencers fence or non-swimmers swim, or I don't want to see people combine the events more poorly compared to the people who are doing it in the Olympics already. Is that fair?
What should they put on the thumbnail, though? Should they show somebody crossing the tape, or should they blur it out on the thumbnail for that video?
Thumbnail? It should just be a stock image of the sport.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Are spoilers the worst part of YouTube videos? Yes.
You want to talk about a bizarre thing that happened? How about this guy named Ian Adamson, who is going to be the guy that brings us the future of sport in 2015, showing up to the OCR World Championship, abandoning the course, then telling Adrian, when Adrian caught him, that it's fine. People do that in his sport all the time, and he should be respected because he's a world OCR guy. How about that? Do you remember that?
That is very much on brand.
That was our introduction to this man. He abandoned a course, said he got permission from Brett. Brett said, no, I didn't. Then said he got permission from like a food vendor, and then said, well, it doesn't matter. This happens all the time in the sport. I'm here to see what you guys are doing because I'm going to bring this to the Olympics, and I need to know what this course was like. That was our introduction to Ian Adamson.
That was your intro to Ian?
That was it.
Bad.
Wasn't that yours?
My intro to Ian was in Killington at the ski lodge. He sat down with John Yatsko and myself, and Joe introduced him. He sat down and within 10 minutes was telling us how to train for OCR.
Oh, well, there you go. Even better.
His thing was that you don't really need strength training, or you should be doing about 200 meter aerobic jogs in between Herc hoist and obstacle work. So that's what he brought to the 2014 Spartan Race World Championship training discussion.
Even the phrase in between Herc hoist, I mean, that's amazing. That should be a podcast between two Herc hoist.
All this to be said, I don't think OCR is going to be in LA. It doesn't move the needle for me.
Okay. Well, I think it worked out great, though. I got the answer to your question. Good. And
Ryan Atkins and VJ Jones will not be there, which means OCR is not there.
Ryan will be a grandfather by then, I think. And it's only 4 years from now. VJ won't be there. Somebody from the Philippines might.
Hopefully. Hopefully someone is. Well, thank you, Matt. That was a good memory.
You're very welcome. I'm glad I could answer.
Talked a little bit about memories.
I'm going to start doing this now when people see. There you go.
You tricked them into it. All right. Well, my hard cutoff is exactly now. So I think we've done our job here today. Thanks for chatting with us.
All right. See you later.
See ya.
How do I leave?
If anything resonated with you on today's episode and you're curious about taking your training to the next level, check out therunningpublic.com, where we have a training plan to fit your needs.